We're talking about the thrill of the fight in this hour. For years, Jonathan Gottschall led something of a double life. By day, he was a mild-mannered English professor at a private liberal arts college in western Pennsylvania. But by night, he was a merciless mixed martial artist, sparring and trading punches at his local gym. Gottschall started fighting out of curiosity, but he wound up in the ring, challenging a fighter 15 years younger. He tells the story in a new book called The Professor in the Cage. Steve Paulson talked with him.
Well, Jonathan, no offense, but you would seem to be a really unlikely candidate to be a mixed martial arts fighter. I mean, you're an English professor at a small liberal arts college. You have a comfortable life with a wife and two kids. Why did you want to learn how to fight?
Yeah, there was a few reasons I did it. I had personal reasons for wanting to do it. I was sort of at a stage of my life where I sort of needed a quest, and the MMA gym opened up across the street. You know, I'd never done a brave thing, and, you know, I wanted to go across there and see if I was capable of it, to see if I had any courage in me. But I also had, you know, scholarly and intellectual interests. You know, I wanted to ask this question, this big question, what has to be maybe the most important question, which is, why do men fight? And I was also interested in this question about why we, you know, those of us who aren't violent, why do we so readily sit back and cheer violent men on? Because violence is even more than sex, the great staple of our entertainment economies. Even those of us who wouldn't be caught dead at a cage fight or at a boxing match still consume a really rich diet of entertainment violence. And I was curious about why that was so.
Yeah. So you joined this gym, this mixed martial arts gym, and you trained. In fact, you trained quite seriously, and to the point where you started engaging in what people in the gym called punch in the face nights.
yeah.
What happened there?
Oh, punch in the face night was a horror show. Punch in the face night, you know, at a mixed martial arts gym, you can get punched in the face any night of the week. But some nights at the gym, you know, you'd work on your wrestling, you'd work on jiu-jitsu and other grappling art, and no glove leather would fly at all. But on punch in the face night, you knew you were going to be punched in the face dozens and dozens of times.
Yeah. So what happened during these punch in the face nights? I mean, did you end up walking around with lots of bruises on your face?
Yeah, I had lots of bruises on my face. I had bruises all over my body. You know, to do MMA is to hurt. You know, even sleeping hurts. You're just chafed. You're twisted. You're bruised. You're swollen.
Did you like to fight?
I did in some ways. I was always scared of it. I always had a lot of fear and anxiety about it. But there is an excitement to it that is hard to match. You know, there's a thrill to it. On the nights when I did well at the gym, when I sort of held my own in the sparring, and those nights were few and far between, I would leave the gym with my whole system like revving with something bigger and purer than a runner's high. And I enjoyed the camaraderie, I enjoyed the exercise, I enjoyed the guys in the gym. And when I finally had to quit, I quit because I was just too injured to go on. I trained there for about 3 years. And when I left the gym for the final time, I left it feeling very sad, like this romance in my life had ended and I was too old and too brittle to recapture it.
I can imagine also that when you were walking back across the street to your day job, being an English professor, your academic colleagues must have thought you had a few screws loose. I mean, especially when they saw, you know, all these marks on your face.
Yeah, you know, I tried to keep it secret for a long time, to be honest. But after a while, you know, it's very hard to stay in the closet. You're showing up at work in crutches. You're showing up at work with black eyes. And so eventually I had to tell them. I was kind of worried what people would think. I was worried that they'd think I was a savage and that I was a violent guy and that, you know, I just wasn't a good person or something like that. But once I told them, you know, no one cared. They weren't angry with me or upset with me. They were much more tolerant than I expected them to be.
Hmm. Now, you were engaging in mixed martial arts. Do you remember the first time you ever saw a mixed martial arts fight?
Yeah, I was at a party almost 20 years ago, and somebody broke out a Blockbuster video cassette tape, and we watched a sumo wrestler fight a 200-pound karate man. And the fight was very, very brutal and very, very fast. it ended with the karate fighter winding up as hard as he could and soccer kicking the sumo wrestler in the face, and then landing a haymaker punch after that. The fight ended in 20 seconds.
Wow, and so, that is brutal. I mean, it's frankly kind of horrifying.
I was horrified watching it. I was watching this thinking, oh my gosh, what kind of savage would want to watch this? What kind of monster would want to watch this stuff? And then the next fight came on, and I found that I could not look away.
Now, there's another piece to this story, the more scholarly piece, which is why men fight. I mean, the big intellectual question that you were looking at. And you say that a lot of it revolves around a certain kind of behavior that you call the monkey dance. What is that?
If you've ever seen a nature video of two elephant seals squaring off in the surf or of two rams cracking skulls on a hillside, biologists call those kinds of contests ritual combat. It's a way that different species have evolved to find out who's bigger and stronger and fitter and tougher without the danger of fighting it out for real. And I argue that the same is true of people, just more so. And the monkey dance is my name for human versions of ritual combat. Everything from deadly duels to verbal duels to the roughhousing of boys to sports. And probably the best example I can give you of this is the choreography of a standard fistfight. Sociologists have studied this pretty extensively. And fistfights always follow, or almost always follow, a typical pattern. Someone feels dishonored or disrespected. There's a challenge. The men argue back and forth. At any point, either one of these guys can back down and walk away, and usually they do. But if no one will back down, they close the distance, they punch, they push, they tackle, they gouge. What I'm getting at is that the standard choreography of a fistfight, the back and forth dance of it, seems to be as hardwired into us as patterns of conflict are hardwired into those mountain goats cracking skulls on the hillside.
So there's an element of honor here. I mean, that's what not wanting to back down is all about, to save your honor.
Yeah, that's right. Most mano-a-mano type conflict between men is honor-based violence.
And yet it would seem that our culture is less of an honor-based society than many cultures have been in the past.
There's no question that this sort of violence, this sort of honor-based violence, is in decline. But it's not gone, you know? So the guys who come into my gym are of an age where physical violence and physical aggression, physical intimidation between men is most common. And they're of a class, they're mainly working class guys, where backing down in the face of a challenge still comes with stiff social consequences. Most of the guys who go into MMA gyms aren't training to win sport fights. What they're training for is if they're in the outside world and a guy comes up to them and tries to bully them, they want to be able to defend themselves. They want to be able to stand up for themselves and not be dishonored.
There are all kinds of troubling questions here. I mean, one is, I mean, you're drawing the link between masculinity and the ability to fight. Sort of raising this question, are you a lesser man if you walk away from a fight?
Absolutely not. Walking away from the fight is the right thing to do. However, most guys who do walk away from a fight, it's not a cost-free move. There's a social cost to pay for it, and there's a psychological cost to pay for it. So I tell stories in the book about the fights that I walked away from. And you know it's the right thing to do. You know it's a civilized thing to do. But we have this honor psychology that's developed over the course of eons worth of evolutionary time. And it feels like it's not the right thing to do. It feels really bad to walk away from a fight.
You can feel ashamed of doing that. I mean, you've wimped out, or you might feel that
exactly,
way.
Exactly. So I'm an educated person. I'm a civilized person. For God's sake, I'm an English professor. And I still get into these situations where I would walk away from, and this doesn't happen all the time, but I would walk away from a physical confrontation, knowing it was the right thing to do at an intellectual level, knowing it's the right thing to do at a moral level, and then feeling so ashamed of myself that I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. And I'm not endorsing this kind of primitive masculinity. I'm just saying that this is how most men feel.
there's another side to this, and that's not just sort of being in a fight. It's enjoying the spectacle of fighting, you know, as entertainment. And mixed martial arts is it's a huge business right now, very popular on television. And I have to confess, I'm a longtime boxing fan.
Right.
And I feel kind of guilty about that, I have to say. You know, these people are risking brain damage to some degree for my pleasure.
Agreed.
What do you do with that?
Well, you know, I started thinking about this question 20 years ago when I started watching mixed martial arts on a regular basis. And I'd watch it, and always with this spirit of guilty fascination, I'd think to myself, I'm a peace-loving, civilized person. I appear not to be a sociopath. Yet here I am watching this. What's wrong with me? And what's wrong with all of us? Because even those of us, again, who are not going to want to watch cage fights or boxing matches still consume a massive diet of entertainment violence, everything from NFL games to gore-spattered novels to films and video games. So I came around to the view that what draws us to combat sport as viewers isn't so much the barbarism or the bloodlust. So I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to watch an ISIS torture slash murder video. But I find it very hard not to watch men fighting. And partly I think it's because it's such an incredibly intense drama. The emotions are so real and raw, and the broken hearts are real, and the pain is real, and the elation is real. The drama of it is intense. And a fight also sets up these conditions of incredibly harrowing adversity that allow the best elements of human nature to shine through. Talking about things that we all admire, like courage and boldness and extremes of grace and endurance and fortitude. So I think I'll sound to many people like an apologist for violence, but I think what draws us to combat sport as viewers isn't this opportunity to succumb to or to revel in what's worst in human nature. I think we go to a sport fight because we want to honor and celebrate what's best in human nature.
So I have to come back to where we started.
Sure.
Your training to be a cage fighter, you trained for 3 years. You finally got into a cage fight. What happened?
Well, you know, I don't want to give the ending of the book away. You know, I built a little bit of suspense into the story, and so I don't want to give it away. I will tell you, though, that I'm an English professor. I'm 40 years old. I fought a 24-year-old, and it didn't go all that well.
Thank you. This has been a lot of fun.
Jonathan Gottschall is an English professor at Washington and Jefferson College in Pennsylvania. His latest book is The Professor in the Cage, Why Men Fight and Why We Like to Watch. Steve Paulson talked with him